Tells him. Here we go. Yeah, that parable, the parable of the sower, looked at on our last session of Christianity Explored. And it's about, the soil is really about our hearts. What kind of a heart have we got to receive God's word? Are we understanding the promises that God has for us? How do we receive them? How do we live on them? But I'm going to turn my focus this morning on those verses from Romans 8. It links together. But for me, those verses from Romans 8 were just so crucial to the transformation of my life. When I fully understood what those words meant, things fundamentally changed in my life. These are kingdom building principles. This is what it means for us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when you first listen to it and you hear all those words, actually, even when you're looking at it and you're looking at all those words, you're thinking to yourself, what on earth does that actually mean? And so I want to just pick it apart a little bit so that we can go out of this place kicking our heels with joy this morning, just like it says in the prophecy from Isaiah. January the 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a document called the Emancipation Proclamation. And what that was about was that every slave in a Confederate state was now free. Nobody owned them. They didn't have to do what was being told them by their master anymore. They could live a life like they wanted to, in freedom and in liberty. But of course, first of all, they needed to know about that. And then they needed to live it out. But that document had been signed. 2,000 years ago, God signed an Emancipation Proclamation. He said he didn't sign it with ink. He signed it in blood. And it was on a cross outside Jerusalem. Our Emancipation Proclamation. Freedom for you. Freedom for me. Those opening verses. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is freedom in Christ from condemnation of the law and of making a mess of stuff. There's freedom from that. There is no condemnation in that anymore when we are in Christ. And the impact in first century Palestine, when they first started to get their heads around that, was absolutely seismic. And across the centuries, we can so easily just go, oh yeah, what does it mean? It's absolutely seismic for you and for me. No condemnation does not mean suddenly it's a free-for-all and we can all do what we want, how we want, and when we want to do it without any repercussion. No. It's not a declaration that's saying things don't matter anymore. What it's saying is there is no condemnation when you mess up, because condemnation meant you'd broken something, you'd done something wrong, and there was a penalty for it. If you'd been condemned, you were paying a penalty. Sometimes it was condemned to death. Sometimes it was condemned to imprisonment until you could pay your debts. And so you would look to somebody at that time to help you out. Somebody who might be a bigwig in the local authority might come along and say, actually, I think you got that wrong. Let's have this lad out, shall we? You know, because I'm bigger than you are. Or somebody to pay the debt for you. But you'd been condemned, you were paying a price unless somebody else came and sorted it out for you. When we break the law, there's punishment associated with it. Israel, at this time, was a nation that had been told by God, I love you and I want you to be so special and blessed by me. Live your life with me and you will live a life of prosperity and love and freedom and all the promises that I have for you. But of course, because of the fall and sin entering the world, they couldn't just keep to that. And so they kept backing off and wandering away and doing things in their own sweet way and making a mess of it. And so you've got this cycle that keeps going round and round. One moment they're adhering and responding to God, and the next minute they're rejecting him and walking away from him. And so when Isaiah is writing, they're in exile, but he's saying, look, this is what God says. He knows you've messed up. Turn around, say you're sorry. Come back to him, and these are the promises for life ahead. There's a cycle that goes round and round. And in order to help them just get back online again with understanding what it means to live with God and what it is to worship a holy God, he gave them laws to follow. Ten Commandments. To be fair, if they'd followed just the first one, everything else would have got itself sorted out. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and I've no other gods before me. But there were these laws that were set up to help them be right before God. But of course, when you get a rule or a regulation, we can't keep them, can we? There's just something in us. We struggle with that. And so the religious leaders at the time came up with a whole set of other rules and laws and regulations to help them keep the ten that God had given them. Well, where it says keep the Sabbath day holy and don't do any work on the Sabbath. Well, they were all there scratching their chins. Well, no work on the Sabbath. Well, what does that mean? What's work? Oh, goodness me, what's work? Are we allowed to make a meal? Are we allowed to light a fire? Are we allowed to go for a walk? We better sort all this out. And they literally came up with hundreds and hundreds, and some folks will say even thousands of subsidiary laws just to get them to keep the ten that God had given them. Today, there are some Orthodox Jews who take that so literally, they will not turn on a light because that's work. They won't cook a meal in the oven because to put the electricity on is work. And so instead, because we always find a way around stuff, don't we? Timer plugs. Yay! Let's set the timer plugs the day before the Sabbath kicks in. And then I don't have to put the light on and I don't have to turn the oven on. And yeah, that's just bonk, isn't it? How we can get engaged into rules and regulations to try and get ourselves right with God. And God is saying, it's not about that. You can't have salvation through works. It's all about salvation through Jesus. Right? And when you're in Christ, then there isn't the condemnation there anymore, because the penalty's been paid by him. And so this business about getting right before God created a whole series of different ways of purification so they could approach the temple, and sacrifices that were needed to take place in order to get the people's heart right before God, to show God that they meant business. One day of the year, the high priest was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, which was the space where the Spirit of God dwelt in his temple in Jerusalem. One man only, the high priest appointed for that year was allowed to go in to the presence of God. But the only way that he could survive that experience was if he was covered head to foot in sacrificial blood. And so the lambs were slaughtered and he was covered all over in it. They dare not leave a square inch uncovered from sacrificial blood. And then he put on all his robes. Now, his robes, interestingly, had lots of little bells on. And then around his waist was a rope. And he went in to the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, to sacrifice on behalf of all the people. But because God is a holy God and there could be no sin present, the reason he had a rope on and the reason he had the bells on was because if he made a mistake, he would die. And the bells would stop ringing. And then they dragged him out. on the rope. But in Christ there is no condemnation. For those who are in Christ, it's not about salvation by works, it's salvation by faith. That's the key thing. It's not about rules, it's about relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what Paul is expanding on here in that letter to the church in Rome. And yet there are still so many people in the world today who are living in an Old Testament promise and situation. They're living by the law. They are hoping, or by all hopes, and keeping the fingers crossed that I might just be good enough at the end of it all to stand before God. They won't be. We can't be. None of us can ever live a life good enough to stand before God and survive His holiness, except through Christ. In Christ there is no condemnation. Once we've put our faith and our trust in Him and we've said to God, yes, I understand now why you sent Jesus. It's in order that we don't have to go through all this stuff anymore, which you know we can't keep anyway, Lord. And it's all about putting our trust in you. And when we do that, we are in Christ. And when we're in Him, there is no condemnation. How many times have you heard people say, well, I think I led a good life. Yeah. Or so-and-so led a good life. Or I'll try and be good. And I do this and I do that. And you think, well, that's wonderful. And the world needs people who are being good and nice to one another, doesn't it? But none of that will get us to be in a right situation before God. We can't do it. It's only through Christ. But look, here is the wonderful thing to close. There's no condemnation. No, instead what it's about is transformation. When you're in Christ, you are transformed. In Christ, no condemnation before God. We mess up, yes. We repent, as we have done this morning. There is forgiveness from God for those who are in Christ, who trust in Him for who He is and what He's done. Then there is transformation. No condemnation, but there is conviction. If you ever feel, and this is why it's important to know the promises of God. If you ever feel condemned about something, that is not God. We've just heard about it. There's no condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're feeling condemned, that's not God. That's the enemy getting at you, saying, oh, I think you're a Christian. You think you're better than everybody else. No, I'm not better than anyone else. I'm just different because I'm in Christ. And that's the transformation that's taken place. And so I will not be condemned, and I will not listen to you whispering in my ear, telling me lies. That is not you. That is not God. It's not you, Lord. That's the enemy. Instead, what the Holy Spirit does is He convicts us. And that's a difference. He convicts us and He'll say, Dave, didn't like the way you spoke to them that day. I think you need to sort that one out because you've upset somebody there. Just the tone of voice went right and the way you chose to speak him about that situation. That's conviction. Now, the enemy could quickly turn that round into rubbish you and undermine me and undermine everything that God has done in me through Christ. Now, there's conviction and then there's responsibility. And wouldn't it be great if so many more people in the world just took a bit more responsibility for their actions and said, yeah, okay, I've messed up and let's start afresh. Guys, in Christ, there is no condemnation. It's transformational. The only way to stand before God, holy and righteous before Him, and we can be holy and righteous before God, get your mind around that one, is when we are in Christ. And here's a phrase to think on, maybe chew over your coffee with at the end here. When we live a life following law and rules and regulations, our whole life becomes about have to's. I have to do this, I have to do that. When we are in Christ, liberated, righteous before God, our life becomes full of want to's. I want to worship you, Lord, because I'm just so full of love for you. I want to do this, Lord, because I love you and you've shown your love for me. We change from have to's to want to's. And sometimes we forget that. And sometimes it's so easy for us, even as Christians, to fall back into a habit of, oh, I better do this and I better do that just to make sure I'm right with God. I better read my Bible today. I better read four passages today because I didn't read any for the last two weeks. No! That's a have to. And we need to repent of that, folks. We need to say sorry for that, because when we start living a life like that, what we're doing is we're crucifying Christ again. And we're saying it didn't work first time. We've got to really stand on that promise of God with us. It's all about our relationship with him and moving into that freedom. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.